believe it is 6 p.m. and I will call the meeting to order. Have a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. And in-person meeting for 2 years. There may be a few glitches because we are doing a hybrid meeting, so just bear with us if there's a problem. So I'm going to ask the clerk, Mr. Crawford, to do the roll call, please.
We have Garth Baldwin.
Present.
Karina Higgins.
Present.
Mike Hill.
Present.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Here.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Eric Davidson requested to be excused.
Could I have a motion to excuse Eric Davidson from the meeting, please?
So moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
6-0 is in favor of excusing Mr. Davidson from the meeting.
I had a procedural question. Is the, if we're in a hybrid meeting, would that mean that the screen should be showing any people auditing the meeting on Zoom or something? Is that how that's going to work in a hybrid meeting or no?
We can. We have the option to do that. So during an audience participation, we can switch it over.
That's what I'm saying, especially if there's a question from the audience or audience participation, it was great to see the little Brady Bunch grid with the panel's folks on it.
Okay, so the first item is audience participation. And we do have a sign-up sheet, and there's no one signed to speak. If there's anyone on Zoom that would like to speak, you have 3 minutes to speak. Now, is Naomi?
No,
no one? Okay, so we will assume that there's no one wishing to speak at this meeting. So the next item is a legislative update, and for this we have Senator Stefanik coming to join us, and welcome to our council meeting, Mr. Stefanik.
Welcome, Senator Stefanik.
Thank you so much. Thank you everyone so much for allowing me to be here. I apologize, I was at an event the other day and there were a lot of people, so I sort of yelled instead of talked, so my voice is shot. So I'm not intentionally trying to sound like Batman, it's just, the way it goes. But it's so nice to be here for the first time in person with each one of you. Thank you so much for having me. I very much appreciate it. I think some of us have met before over Zoom, but it's nice to have sort of a post-session update. So again, thank you. There are sort of three categories that I'd like to highlight in terms of sort of the legislative update. The first has to do with, I'd say, our economic progress. There were some things that I think we did that were substantial and more helpful. There were other things I wish we would have done. One of the sort of fun things that we did that may spark some interest for the area up here at Blaine was providing more tax incentives for actually companies that want to produce films and movies and arts up here in Washington and even particularly in areas like Blaine, which would be great for areas like that. We also provided some B&O tax incentives, especially for businesses that make less than $250,000. So there was some small tax relief for businesses. Overall, I wish that we could have made a little bit more progress in the issue of tax relief for individuals and for businesses. One of the bills that I sponsored at the beginning of the legislative session was a temporary suspension of the gas tax. And that's because we've had an over $16 billion surplus in our budget. And so one of the ideas was to transfer $1.3 billion of funding from the general fund over to the transportation fund to allow suspension of the gas tax, provide immediate relief to especially the families right now that are being affected by inflation and sort of the increasing costs of gas and groceries. There were other proposals that were considered regarding the temporary, for example, sales tax relief or sales tax holiday. There was also a proposal to provide a tax relief for sales tax for items like diapers. Unfortunately, those items didn't make it into the final budget despite, again, the large surplus that we have. And so I wish we could have made more progress in the area of tax relief. The second area I'd like to talk about briefly is the issue of public safety. I've met with Chief Tanksley before, and I think the chief was on the meeting last week that we had with the council. There was some progress that was made in regards to a 1968 case called Terry versus Ohio, which has to do with the use of force by police officers. There was a piece of legislation passed in 2021 in that legislative session that changed basically the use of force from instead of probable cause to reasonable suspicion, making it more difficult for police officers to potentially use force where it may be needed. And so the legislature may make some corrections in this session to return to the Terry standards regarding probable cause and reasonable suspicion. So while that was a step forward, there were other issues that didn't make it into the final legislative session, unfortunately, like the issue of vehicular pursuits. That was brought up sort of in the we tried to bring it up on the floor in the final several hours, actually, even on the final day of the legislative session because it was such a high priority, but unfortunately it failed by one vote to get through. So there are still going to be some difficulties, as I'm sure your chief will be able to articulate better than me, regarding law enforcement and public safety, but there were some steps made in that area. There were also some proposals such as incentivizing the hiring of law enforcement officers. Washington State, I think I saw it's either the worst or the third worst in terms of law enforcement officers per capita in the country. And so we need to be looking at potential creative ways to incentivize law enforcement officers to work here, to be here, to protect our communities. And so I think we can still make more progress in that regard as well. And then finally, I'd like to just briefly touch on sort of projects related to Blaine. Obviously, some of you saw the $500,000 in the capital budget regarding the East Blaine Pump Water Station. I know that we've talked before, and it did make it into the final budget, into the final legislative session regarding changing to allow a one-cent gas tax for the city of Blaine, for example. I know that was a priority that didn't end up happening, but perhaps it will happen in a future session. And then additionally, we made some progress in regards to flooding, $2 million for the Nooksack Valley School District, $14 million to elevate Slater Road, and over $20 million in a budget proviso for statewide programs for small business relief. So some progress made in the issue of in regards to flooding. Obviously, there was a small mayor's letter regarding the flooding and water management issue that will still continue to be worked on. So those are some of the, I'd say, hits of the session, and there were some misses as well. But overall, I'm sure I might be missing something, so I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions? No? Well, thank you very much for taking your time out. I know you've been very, very busy since January when you were appointed, and congratulations on the successful short-term legislative session.
Thank you very much, and thanks again for having me. It's a beautiful day, so it's sort of a shame that we have to be inside today, but hopefully we can still catch some sun afterwards. So thank you all again so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, as we move on then, Mr. Crawford, your written communications, please.
Yeah, I have an email dated March 16, 2022 from Michael Jones regarding ranked choice voting. An email dated March 17, 2022 from Michael Jones regarding the presentation on homelessness by Whatcom Housing Alliance. A memo dated March 17, 2022 from Bernie Zemanek regarding a sewer project update. An email dated March 17, 2022 from Stacey Prochner regarding the March 30th Semiahmoo Highlands Community Conference. And an email dated March 19, 2022 from Jeff Machuda regarding speed bumps at Marine Park.
Thank you. The next item is the consent agenda. The items below will be enacted by one motion. There's a voucher memo and approval of bills for $295,241.02. The approval of March 14, 2022 City Council meetings. A collective bargaining agreement with the Fraternal Order of Police. And amending Finance Director Employment Agreement. Do I have a motion to, for this?
A motion.
And a seconder, please? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So the agenda is, says 6-0, it's been approved. Thank you very much. I think we only now have one council action item, seeing as the Lane Tourism Committee member was unable to be here today. So it's ordinance 22-2981, an ordinance of the City of Lane Council of Lane, Washington, to approve the Muirfield final plat. And I believe, Michael, are you going to present that?
No, I just wanted to mention that Ms. Krasner is going to present that, and we're going to put our hybrid meeting format to the test because she's out of state right now.
Audio?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Fantastic. All right. So, oh, good. It looks like Naomi was able, IT was able to get the presentation up around the screen. Are you able to see the slide?
We can see the slide.
Okay. Fantastic. You know what? We're going to do okay with this hybrid model. This is going to work. So, of course, always my pleasure to speak in front of council. We are coming to you live from Palm Springs, California. So thank you for having me this evening. So this evening I am presenting a final plat approval request from Cascade Engineering and the property owner and project proponent, Denise McCreese. Ms. McCreese is here this evening in support of this request and application for the final plat approval of the Muirfield Plan Unit Development and Plat. And Naomi, can you go ahead and get us to the next slide? All right, thank you so much. And so the Muirfield development, this is 10 new, or will be, if it's council's pleasure, to approve this evening, 10 new residential lots located within the Semiyama neighborhood. You can see they're adjacent to Semiyama Parkway. The Turnberry neighborhood is right across the street. All right, and we'll go to the next slide, please. All right, so council's aware, because I've always reminded council whenever we do presentations for plats and subdivisions, that the state revised code of Washington, the RCWs, it generally governs how land is subdivided within Washington State, and then the City of Lane implements that legislative intent of the RCWs through local code of ordinance. And for us, that is the Lane Municipal Code, Title 17. And so Muirfield has fulfilled all of those steps that the code requires to reach final plat. This plat was originally preliminary. It was the 13th. Council did give the project two extensions. One was given to send a process to divide land to get it ready for building, and that is construction plan phase. This is the point when the plat has been preliminarily approved by council, and then the applicant comes in and they have engineered plans to install public infrastructure. And you can see that that's been completed here on the slide, and then also in the draft plat that was included in the request for council action staff report that was submitted subsequent to this meeting this evening. We have 10 residential lots that will access off of a main private drive. There is open space adjacent to the Sunday Parkway, on-site trails, recreation improvements. We have the new private road that's been completed along with the stormwater system utilities. Thank you, Naomi. Sorry I didn't prompt you on that one. So I'll just leave it on there a minute as I jump into the approval criteria. All right, Naomi, next slide. So now that the applicant has completed the bulk of the work on the site, we now get to the approval criteria for council's deliberation this evening. And that's the approval criteria for the final plat, so that this plat can be recorded, and then the lots will be created and be eligible for building permits. So the state RCWs mentioned earlier in the presentation require that the public use and interest will be served. that you of this plat. And both the community development services director, myself, and the public submitted letters in the confirmation of this were included in the packet that's provided subsequent to this meeting. There are some conditions that we are proposing to go along with this final plat approval. The infrastructure that will be over 80% complete and the final Mylar and associated documents that will be completed, those are conditions on there. You see specifically some conditions for that final piece of language, as well as a bond of landscaping. And then I previously mentioned both the department recommendations that were included in the packet. Thank you, Naomi. Next slide. All right. So both CDS and Public Works recommend that the City Council would consider approving this final plan view development and plat, subject to those conditions of approval, by passing a motion to approve Ordinance 22-2981. That ordinance is included as a draft in your file as well for your review. And I would be happy to answer any questions about the processing of the final plat. As I mentioned, the property owner and project proponent is also here this evening and also available to answer questions that council may have. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Ms. Krashner?
I wanted to offer a remark to council. Naomi, are you able to put the site plan back up? There's a couple slides back there. I was on the Planning Commission in 2013 when this was dealt with for many, many different weeks. And if you look there, Garth, I want to bring your attention to the, the one you had before. If you notice there's a significant buffer. So one of the big problems we had with one of the other developments in Samiamu was insufficient buffering, and a lot of the residents over there said it was not within the neighborhood character. I'm talking about a different development than this. If you look at that, we made sure at this point to ensure that it was a significant, wonderful buffer there, and that's very helpful to what the residents in Samiamu have said, repeatedly said they want. And so I'm very much happy with the final form that this entire project is taking.
Richard, are you aware of whether the buffer is 30 feet or 50 feet?
I can't recall, but you can see from the proportionalness, because you can see the approximate size of the houses on there, and the likely density that they're going to wind up with in the long run is really going to be the right amount to maintain that wooded feel that you get on the parkway there.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Ms. Krashner on this? If not, could I have a motion to approve this ordinance, please? Seconder?
Second.
Is there any discussion about this motion then amongst the council? If not, I will take a vote. All of those in favor of approving Ordinance 22-2981, the City of Blaine, Washington, to approve the Muirfield final plat, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? This ordinance passes 6-0. So as I said, the second action item was the appointment to the BTAC of the candidate who was unable to be here tonight, so that will be postponed for another time. So we move on then to commission, committee, and board reports. And I have Ryan Lopez has two reports that he wishes to make.
Yeah, I was just going to give a quick update on some of the committees. Drayton Harbor Shellfish Committee, currently we are continuing to update and revise our recovery plan that has not been done since 2007. Our next meeting, which is going to be tomorrow morning, is going to focus on boats, marinas, and urban sources of contamination like stormwater, sewage, and all that. As well as any policies we can recommend to the city to reduce this contamination. As of now, the main focus has been on community outreach, technical assistance, financial assistance, and compliance to help reduce the bacteria levels that are currently on the rise in Drayton Harbor. Next up, Incarceration Prevention Reduction Task Force. Latest from our March 15th meeting focuses on the challenges of competency and restoration of individuals who've been arrested and the procedures that are required. We also spoke about Senate Bill 5664 and the challenges of detaining a mentally ill individual if they are not compliant with medication requirements. One of the biggest issues that legislate, one of the biggest problems with current legislation is that there's nowhere to put folks when they are detained for failing to follow instructions for community restoration. The jail has reflected that they have an inability to administer medication and the fact that they do not have people on staff that can provide quick enough psychological services and other resources needed to administer the medication. Our next discussion is coming up soon. We have a few meetings planned this month, so I should have more for our next meeting.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any reports from their committees? No? Okay. We will then move on to department reports, and the first report is Police Department. Chief Tanksley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. Just a brief report from the Civil Service Commission. They met on March 22nd last week and certified and added three new names to the list. So currently, those three individuals we have in background investigation. Hopefully, that will conclude in the next week or so, and then we'll continue with the other parts of the process. As you know, it's a long process. So that's an update with the Civil Service Commission. I do want to bring to your attention, though, that the law enforcement community in the state of Washington. And the state of Washington is in a deep state of mourning. We've lost four police officers this year, three in the line of duty here in the state. Saturday, we lost an Edmonds officer that was stabbed to death in Las Vegas. So just please keep the law enforcement community in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. So Finance Department, Mr. Heberling.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council Members. So I just wanted to give an update to the utility bills issue that I addressed in the last meeting, and said that it was potential that it was the post office was said potentially possible. So I got some more further update on that. We did some more research and found out that it was a software issue.
It's a connection.
It was a software issue with our ASP software that did not send out 460 bills. It was just a glitch in the system that occurred, so those bills were not actually sent out to people, even though it was ran the same way it's run every single time the bills are sent out. And that is something that we are currently researching to replace. The system needs to be replaced. It's old software. So we're actively looking at different vendors that we can use for billing, which will also bring in online billing, which is definitely needed, so people can actually look up the bills online and pay it, set up payment processing. So is the software glitch in our system. Any questions on that?
Were we able to identify the, would you say 460 puzzles?
Yeah, we didn't identify exactly which ones because we can't rerun it. The system is not something where we can actually go in and run the entire batch.
You guys think you got this. That's
right. We just know it was approximately, from looking at the total numbers that went out last time to this time, it was 460 short. Approximately.
But there's no safeguards in place double checking at the company that prints the bills for us?
It wasn't the company. It was our, so the company got the batch that we sent to them. And then they print in and sent out. It's that our system did not even create those bills to send to them.
I understand. My understanding is that we have asked, even though it wasn't their fault, the printing company to if they happen to notice this, the wrong number, to check back with us and see if we have messed up.
Right. That safeguard is in place that they said that if they see anything less than around 3,000, because normally it's like 3,700 or so that goes out. So if they see it that it's below 3,500 or so, they're going to let us know. But yeah, that's a safeguard on them, and it would have been nice if we were. But it's our system, and it's, you know, it's a nice safeguard that they'll let us know that in the future. Any other questions on that? So the second issue is update on the sewer financing. So as you probably noticed, we don't have on the agenda to approve the financing with Holman Capital, which is $7.5 million. I pulled that off the agenda after talking with the city manager, because at this point it just does not make sense to borrow it at this point, because the project has been delayed. It's not actually going to start going out for construction until sometime in July. And when we first went to look into Holman Capital, the plan was that it was going to start being built in April. So one main reason why I pulled it is that we were actually going to borrow those funds and they'd show up at the end of March. So then the city would be sitting on $7.5 million for about 6 months at an interest rate of 3.08 when we don't even need the funds. So the city would be accruing about $20,000 a month for funds we don't need. So I just felt it was not necessary to borrow that at that point and be paying interest on money we're not using. So I'll be coming to you with a different option, which was one of them that I talked to you before, which was D.A. Davidson, of potentially moving forward with them to research and get funding with them sometime in July. And the rate will most likely be better. But what I talked to them, they said it was about 2.6 at this point that they could finance for us for 20 years. So that is also better than 3.08. So it would be a better deal for the city. But the delay of the project made it to where it just makes sense to actually borrow those funds at this point and pay the interest. Is there any questions on that?
Did I hear you say the project's been delayed, or you're just delaying the
Well, originally when we first talked about all this, it was going to be starting in April, construction. It's not starting until July. So construction is delayed by 4 months.
Do we have an explanation why?
It's the same explanation Mr. Zmanek gave at the last study session. It's just the progress of getting all the plans ready is that's where we're at.
Measure twice, cut once.
Essentially.
Do we have a timeline like that?
When's it go out to bid? When's our expected time for it to go out to bid?
If you remember at the last study session, session, Rodney Langer said that looks like we're going out to bid sometime in May. And if you remember, the reason for the recent setback with some of the bad soil conditions that just came in from the test bores that were literally 10, 15 feet into the ground and still finding unsettling ground down there. So the conclusion was reached that the existing sewer system was a result of the bad soil conditions down at that level when we saw the belting going on.
So we go out to bid in May, 30 days it's open, we come back, make a selection sometime in June, then you get into action to get the funding we need to pay what we need to pay the project going, yes?
And we've got funds that we can pay for a few months before the bulk of all the money shows up. So it just makes most sense at this point that the funds should be here around July.
Sure.
And the first bill will probably show up in August or so and not even be due until September. So even the funds being here in July is still a little bit early.
What's the estimated duration of the time of the project?
Well, we were looking from, if everything worked out the way we wanted to, from about April till October.
Okay, so this is a half a year from start to completion?
Yeah, well, we're also reprioritizing things because some pieces of that we'd like to get done during the summer. Other pieces, if the weather doesn't turn to our advantage, could be held off to next year. So we're looking at that. Not all of them are as critical as the first couple of months to get the main section in. So there's some jockeying. And with any luck and the weather holds up, we might get it. So our expectation is to work to get it in this year.
So my question is, if there's potential of it becoming two-phased because we run out of good weather and want to come back to it when the weather's good again, considering what our finance director just said about, hey, if we're not starting the project for 4 or 5 months, we can save thousands of dollars in interest, If there's any way of projecting whether or not we're going to have to split this into two phases, could we do the borrowing in two phases as well and save a whole winter's worth of interest?
Well, I think that's, and I'll let the finance director talk to that, because we've been talking back and forth to make sure that he understands when things can start and not start. And one of the options, of course, that he's looking at is how much money does he really need to borrow on the front end before he needs the back end payment. So there's a lot of juggling going on. So,
yeah, absolutely. We should borrow funds that we're not actually going to use for construction because we're paying interest on it. That just doesn't make sense. Now, it would make sense to borrow it if, let's say today we're getting a 3% interest rate, and in 6 months the economy just, well, we don't know exactly what interest rates are doing. I've got projections and things that I can do to think what I think it's going to do. But if rates were all of a sudden go up a lot, then it actually would make sense to borrow it now and pay the interest, because when they go up a lot.
So sitting on the money for 6 months at 2 or 3% interest is certainly better than coming back and having to pay 7% interest.
Right. I don't see getting to 7, but that doesn't make sense. However, this is what my specialty is to project those things, make the estimates, and go out with my best guess of what we should be doing. Best estimate, not guess. So that's why I got the bachelor's and master's in accounting. Any other questions?
Any more questions?
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Harding, for your...
Madam Mayor, I did just say, Council, I wanted to add a little bit of a sort of late-breaking information on that. I'm working with Whatcom County in regards to the $2.5 billion request that we had initially made for the American Rescue Plan funds when they were looking at investing in some of the county's ARPA dollars into local infrastructure projects. As you know, the county council decided to prioritize, and the county executive as well, prioritize in different ways to perhaps look at other funding, other uses of those funds. So that $2.5 million possible allocation from the county isn't going to come through. What we're working on now is potentially a proposal to redirect the requests that were made from the City of Plain, Linden, Ferndale, and the Port of Bellingham, which are everyone who made ARPA requests to the county, redirect those requests to the Economic Development Investment Board Fund, and where that is a loan-grant combination. And it's typically at a 1% loan, so that is lower than obviously what Mr. Heverlin was just talking about. So I just wanted to kind of bring you up to speed and let you know that although we're still looking at the potential to need to borrow $7.5 million, it looks like we have a reasonably good possibility that we will be able to borrow some of that money, access some of that money from the Economic Development Investment Board. And that late-breaking information also has to do with the reasons why we're holding off. I mean, all the things Dan said are correct and true, but it added to that was, well, this has been talked about, and now, as of today, I know that it is likely that we will get support for probably at least a 50-50 split of loan grant for a $2.5 million portion of that project. So that's additional savings for the ratepayers. Can't guarantee it, but opportunity to work on it looks promising at this point. Any questions on that? It's all complicated. A lot of things happening at the same time.
Sorry, what was the amount on the 50-50?
We have requested $2.5 million initially, and we're going to resubmit that now to EDI, so it would be 2.5 split, and we're hoping for it. It's usually a 2/3 loan, 1/3 grant. This is sort of their rule of thumb, but there's not a law that requires it to be that way. It's just to make sure the fund doesn't get depleted too quickly, but right, if you give away all the money and you don't get any of it back, then it's gone. So they've had a policy of 2/3, 1/3. It looks like it's going to be more like 50-50, potentially better than that, but I'd rather under promise and over deliver.
And any word on when they're going to get back with the ANA?
No, we are going to be discussing that at the mayoral meeting later this month, well, in April. So we'll probably know from
we'll know before August, unless something really crazy delays things. So that's another piece to the whole borrowing is, again, Dan had negotiated with Holman Capital that we'd be able to pay back $2.5 million if that money came through. But now we're looking at hopefully knowing that in advance, just borrowing those.
Any questions from anybody? Okay, thank you very much for the update. Moving on, we have calendars. If you want to look and make sure that your committees, you're up to date on that. And then we go to any unfinished business that anybody knows of. Any council new business that anybody wants to mention? And we don't have an executive session this evening, so at unbelievably 6:35, 6:36, I'm going to adjourn the meeting.